When it comes to lighting, Graybar goes beyond parts and products. We help contractors turn plans into smart designs, manage kitting and deliverables, and navigate local codes so you can stay on time and on budget. Smart, scalable, job site ready. That's not just lighting. That's like kicking your project into Graybar mode. Yep, Graybar does that.
When equipment breaks down and operations come to a halt, every single second counts. So why is your maintenance team spending 60% of their time doing anything but turning wrenches? MaintainX is the AI-powered maintenance and asset management system that helps your team get back to actually fixing breakdowns. No more searching for manuals. No more hunting down parts. No more drowning in paperwork. With MaintainX, your team can access manuals from anywhere, create new procedures in minutes, and turn voice notes into clear and complete work order feedback. What used to take hours now only takes minutes. Keep your operations moving and your wrenches turning. Join over 13,000 maintenance teams that are already fixing more and filing less. Try MaintainX for free today. Go to MaintainX.com/AI. That's Maintain and the letter X.com/AI.
Understanding power requires more than headlines. I'm Peter Hamby, host of The Powers That Be, a podcast from PUC examining politics, economics, and media to provide context, analysis, and clarity without sensationalism. We ask how power operates, who benefits, and what's at stake. If you want to move beyond breaking news to deeper understanding, join us on The Powers That Be. New episodes every weekday. Follow The Powers That Be wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, welcome back in. Hour number three, Dirtus Break here. Portland Sports Leader, 105.1 FM, The Fan, 1080 AM, the Odyssey app, live on YouTube. Good morning, everybody. We've got a lot to get to in this hour of radio. We got the mail sack coming up an hour from now. Your questions are welcome. 503-864-6326. Drip, drip, drip. More NBA playoffs to get into later on in the show. We did get a comment on YouTube. And look, I always appreciate these guys. And we said, come on, guys, we got baseball season and the NBA playoffs. Why are we talking about football? Well, what? First off, how dare you? Football's football. Secondarily, I mean, look, I get it. We've also done 2 hours. What else would you like us to talk about in the NBA? We just did about 2 hours on the NBA.
Well, we have games tonight.
We do have games
tonight. Are they going to be good games?
Would you like me to preview those games now, or would you like me to hold that for the final hour? I'm not going to do a double preview of game one of the second round of the playoffs.
Well, look, people.
We'll get to it in the final hour of the show.
People catch the show when they catch the show, Andrew.
I get it.
You don't need to react to that comment.
I'm just reminding people.
We talk baseball stuff.
It is a 4 hour long radio show.
A little bit.
And
5 seconds.
We spent about 45 minutes on the great Minnesota-San Antonio game from last night. Not a ton of time on Philly-New York because it didn't deserve a ton of time. That game sucked. And we'll get to more NBA playoffs coming up later on in the show. We do have Mariner fans who are waking up, chiming in.
Oh, yeah.
Asking how you're doing over there, Sprague.
You know, it's here one game.
Go. All right, here we go. You know what?
Give you one of these.
Eat your own bud.
Yeah, I did.
If the Braves would have won last night, we would have heard about it for 2 hours by now. That's all you would have been talking about.
Fair. That's a fair point. We hit like 4 home runs to dead center, but yeah, you guys won. I couldn't watch, by the way.
It's blacked out.
Shout out Mariners.
It's so stupid.
It's the dumbest thing.
So stupid.
I cannot believe that I can't watch that game.
Stupid ass.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I'm not going to get Root or whatever. What is it? I am Mariner. Whatever your thing is.
We believe.
We believe.
Moto Joe Sojo or what?
Soto Mojo. Soto Trident Mojo. TV. I don't know what the hell you call that thing.
Trident TV actually would be a pretty cool channel name.
Yeah, dude.
I would. Trident TV might actually want me to buy it at that point.
By the way, Trident Gum, overrated, terrible. Never offer me a piece of Trident gum. It is awful. Far and away the worst.
Agree.
I buy the gum from Costco, the big box ones.
Yeah.
You give me Trident gum.
You a big gum guy?
Big gum guy.
Big gum guy.
We're a big gum family.
Big gum family.
Huge gum family. I buy the Costco boxes. They're gone in like 2 months.
How many pieces of gum are you going through in a day?
Well, I'm not doing multiple pieces of gum in a day.
Just occasionally.
But I have a moment in a day where I'm chewing gum.
Yeah.
I go to basketball, gum.
I've started brushing my teeth more often, kind of in that reason. Like, you get halfway through the day, and you're like, I just feel kind of gross.
I brush my teeth in the mid-afternoon all
you
the time.
You do a mid-afternoon brush.
Yeah, feels gross.
Middle of the day brush.
Yeah, dude.
Brandon, you a big gum guy?
Yes.
Big gum guy?
Especially sports-related, like basketball, like it's a must.
Gotta have gum in. Yep.
Yeah, when you're playing a sport, if we had, like, beer league softball.
You'd have a piece of gum in?
I have a piece of gum
in. Over, like, sunflower seeds? Like, a handful of sunflower seeds?
Yeah. I'd rather have gum.
Would you go double bubble? Would you go big? Hubba Bubba?
I don't mind Hubba Bubble. Bubble Hubble.
Hubba Bubba.
Bazooka gum?
I'm a big Hubba
Boy,
Bubba.
You want to talk about breaking your teeth. Try to start bazooka bubble gum.
Yeah.
Oh, my Lord. That's why you got to do the mimicking the chew.
Is the zebra one still in existence?
The Big League Chew.
Well, yeah, Big League Chew's fun.
Oh, don't do.
Is the zebra one still around?
Nobody's
doing
zebra gum.
But I remember zebra stripes. Yeah.
Look, it wasn't the greatest quality of gum.
No, it was terrible.
But it tasted good.
For 5 seconds, yeah, and briefly. Then the taste was gone, and you were like, well, that was fun.
That's all I need. That's my high.
The green, red stripe, and you're like excited to do it. The zebra was a delightful little mascot, and then the taste is gone in maybe 0.6 seconds. It was unbelievable. No, we're extra family. We usually do extra.
Oh, good stuff. All right, well, we do have a lot to get to.
Bubblicious, though. Like a watermelon Bubblicious.
Yeah, it's good. Bubblicious lasts a long time, too.
Yeah, it does.
I love a good Bubblicious.
Good bubbles, that Bubblicious.
I don't eat enough bubble gum. Like, usually whenever we do gum, it's for the breath reasons. Like, you want a minty freshness out of it.
Opposed to, wait, did you say eating?
Like, just having a good bubble. I mean, you don't swallow it. I'm not saying swallow it, but like chew bubble gum. I don't chew enough bubble gum. Bubble gum's fun to chew.
Yeah.
Blow some big bubbles.
Yeah, I don't mind it, but
I'm not doing it for the thrill anymore. You're just doing it for practical reasons.
I probably look like an ex-smoker the way I chew my gum.
You're smacking it hard.
Smacking it super hard.
Are you a Pete Carroll smacker?
Not quite that level, but I'm just that tier below it. Yeah.
Okay. All right. Yeah. Well, we do have a lot to get to, and yes, I will indeed slip a little bit of football in here. I promise you, we will get back into. There you go, Mariner fans. Hope you're happy now. You got to make fun of Sprague. You guys won last night.
Juicy fruit, great taste, awful gum.
Congratulations. Very similar to the zebra.
Very similar. Yeah. Taste is gone pretty quick.
The
Double
idea
Mint has this problem.
Of juicy fruit is great, and then it's just gone. How have we not come up with a good tasting gum like that is able to last a longer amount of time?
I'm telling you, extra gum is the best one. The taste is there for quite a while, and then like it's still pretty chewable and fine until you eventually are done with it.
Lingers on you a little bit.
We had to ship our vacuum cleaner. It just randomly broke, and it's a pretty new one. So we checked the warranty. They're like, hey, if you ship it to us, we'll fix it. We'll ship it back to you for free. So we'd take it to this shipping center, and we got to get this big-ass box, right, for a vacuum. And I look at this little snack section. It's one of these, like, FedEx UPS stores. And they have, like, all these little snacks. And the lady, I was, like, trying to talk to these people, and they wanted nothing to do with me. So I finally go up to this lady, and I go, do you choose these snacks? I was evaluating their snack section. And she was like, no, they pick it. And I was like, oh, do you get a discount? Are these snacks for free? She goes, no, we don't get anything. I'm like, well, you're getting ripped off. She goes, yeah. We kind of are. And I go, well, that's ridiculous. I go, who chooses Big Red gum? Why do you have Big Red here?
Spicy.
She goes, I've wondered that too. And I go, nobody buys it, do they? And she goes, no, nobody buys the cinnamon gum. I go, because it's terrible.
I feel like even just saying the word Big Red, it puts a taste into my mouth.
Oh, it's
is
awful.
That like just even picturing or thinking about Big Red?
Who
my
wants
mouth
spicy gum
goes to that place of you just get that like my tongue's tingling now.
Yep,
just by referencing it, I haven't thought about Big Red gum in forever.
When I don't remember what age I was, but I remember being a kid and somebody the first time I had Big Red, I will vividly remember like I was like asking about if anybody had any gum. And they go, yeah, I got some gum, and it was a Big Red, and I was like, Big Red, what's Big Red? And they're like, do you like cinnamon? I'm like, yeah, I love cinnamon. So I took it. Chew it. I was like, spit it out right away. Never want anything to do with Big Red. Get out of here.
I'm not chewing on that.
That's
anymore.
A terrible option.
Yeah.
She's like, it never gets sold. Nobody
it
buys Big Red gum.
Sits there. Probably expires, although gum probably takes about 40 years to expire, I would imagine.
It's still stale, though.
It's stale. Yeah. You get that hard piece, you bite into it.
Well, also, separating the expiration versus the sell-by, what is that for you guys? Because I found a Gatorade in an old golf bag.
I go loosey-goosey
with
it.
And it said sell-by 11/23. Obviously, it's 5/26.
That's fine.
You think
although
so?
It was warm, so it probably tasted like
Bud. Like, does Gatorade expire?
I gave him.
Eat your own Bud.
That's what it felt like you were doing.
I didn't end up drinking it.
Was it in? It was, so it was in the golf bag the entire time?
It was in a golf bag
so
in my garage.
One? Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it wasn't. Yeah, it was room temperature.
That's not good. I would have no problem drinking it, though. I would just have to put it in the fridge first. If you put it in the fridge first, I'd have no issue with it.
It's freezer, currently maybe. In the freezer.
Freezer? Yeah, throw
yeah,
it in the freezer.
I
think
and then
fine.
What? Just let it defrost, then drink it?
Yeah, sure. Yeah, it'd be fine. Once you freeze it, it gets all the bacteria out of there. How does Gatorade even go bad?
I don't know.
What's growing inside that ball, that bottle? I want to know.
I've never heard of Gatorade being expired, but it said sell by. And I'm like, well, what is this about?
There's one that we get. There's like a green chili kind of taco sauce that you can get at Costco. It always comes in the 2-pack, which sucks because they're big and you can never get through two of them.
What do you mean it sucks? I love the 2-pack.
Well, I think because the expiration date is always super, like it's before you can even possibly get through one bottle, let alone two.
Yeah.
But the expiration date's always way too soon for me, and I will let that thing hang in the fridge for another 3 months and still use it.
Yeah.
I got no issue with that.
If it's not like a cream, like a yogurt, a sour cream-based thing, I tend to trust it a little more.
Yeah.
No dairy, we're good.
No dairy. I'm not doing the milk and the eggs past expiration day, but everything else should be okay. We'll get to some more NBA stuff, I promise, and baseball stuff throughout the rest of the show today. Again, mail sack coming up at the top of the hour. Get your questions in 503-864-6326. I did see this. Let's talk about rankings. Could we yell about rankings for a moment?
I'm in.
I love yelling about rankings. It's just fun. Everybody has an opinion this time of year. It's great. Exciting. We talked a little college football yesterday because we had some spring games and all that stuff getting ready for next year. Mm. These are an offensive rankings, okay? Offensive rankings in the Big Ten.
Okay.
Are you ready for this? The best offenses in the Big Ten.
Yep.
Now, if I were to ask you this just in theory, as of right now for next season, who would your number one offense in the Big Ten be? I will let you do the ranking yourself, Brandon Sprigg. Mm.
There's a little bit of an unknown in Indiana. And
new
I say,
faces.
I say that with a bunch of respect because they got to keep their staff.
They did. The coordinator's still there.
It's why some rankings say Indiana had the best offseason. They didn't have to lose anybody.
Yes.
I'm going to say...
I mean, you could go anywhere you want because Ohio State still has the best wide receiver in the sport.
I'm going to go Oregon to not be offense? Like, oh, the local Oregon guy is picking it on the home of the Ducks. No, yeah. I'm trying to take into account returning talent versus unknown.
Shout! Offense, offense, hey!
I'm going to take Oregon 1.
Okay.
I'm going to take Indiana 2.
Indiana 2?
Yeah, I got a lot of respect for Indiana.
No Jeremiah Smith showing up in your top two. Does he not?
Did you tell me to rank receivers or offenses?
I'm asking you to rank offenses.
I'm not a big Julian Sayin guy.
Okay.
I think his numbers are going to be good. Good luck drafting that cat.
Is it because he looks like he's 12?
Bust.
Yeah.
Easy bust.
Already over.
Yeah, just write it right now in Sharpie. Not going to work in the NFL.
Will Hoover work in the NFL?
I don't know about
Can
that.
A furry be an NFL quarterback? We'll find out a year from now.
Certainly a valid question. Who's to say we haven't had a furry as an NFL quarterback?
It's a great point. There had to have been one over the years.
You're telling me there's not 1'4" questionable guy at Coachella with a cat hat on that you can't see his face?
Who's the most likely furry quarterback?
Oh, in the NFL?
I mean, you don't have to go current. You can go all time. You know who would be kind of a low-key furry? I could see being into it.
Mendoza?
Russell Wilson's got weird stuff going on.
So Mendoza?
Yeah. Mendoza could definitely be a furry.
I could see Kirk Cousins embracing his inner late life you know, I've always wanted to be a tiger.
He does Kohl's during the week, furry on the weekend.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, my dad always told me to stop growling. I'm going to be a tiger anyway. I don't care. That would probably be my initial guess.
Okay.
But after that, it's Drake May's he's too plain Jane.
No, he's wearing white tees and jeans. It's not. You got to be weird. There's got to be a weird vibe.
There's
got
to be a weird factor.
Like there's
there.
A screw loose
Minnesota.
Somewhere.
It's Niner. It's
Niner.
Gotta be Niner.
Niner's a good one.
And he's a bear.
He does it as like an alter ego to get ready for a game.
Yeah.
He walks around the house growling like Doja Cat at the Met Gala, meowing like a cat.
His fiance, were you just going to the bathroom on all fours? You don't understand what I'm really locking into right now.
He's got that dog in him, but then he gets down and lifts his leg to pee into the toilet. He's down on the ground.
If the internet's right about all the rumor mill offseason stuff that we cannot talk about on air because I don't want to get sued, the New Orleans quarterback might be in on this.
That's a good point. Well, the rankings come to you via ESPN. So you had Oregon 1, Indiana 2, Ohio State 3.
Ohio State 3.
That's your big three.
And then USC 4.
USC 4?
Yeah. And USC, I think, is very worthy of putting into the top three.
They might have the best quarterback of the bunch. They lost the receivers, but they might have. I mean,
I'm curious about him. I like him, and it's like sometimes I watch him, and I'm like, what are you doing?
Yeah. No, I get it. I get it. Here come your rankings. Are you ready for these? Number one offense in the Big Ten, the Indiana Hoosiers. Josh Hoover, obviously coming over from TCU. Nick Marsh, now at wide receiver. One of those guys that everybody's been kind of waiting on. He's been really good.
It would be funny when he's not their number one receiver.
It would.
We're really hyping this up. And I think he's got a little bit of a a tood.
Yeah, there's a tood problem
there. A tood.
He wore his gold cleats today, one, and Cignetti made him run for it.
I like that.
So you can't wear gold around here. You didn't win a championship, right? No. You don't get those gold cleats on your feet. Indiana won, which, I'm sure it, at this point, comes across as if I'm predicting Indiana to go 5-7 next year. I just find that interesting. Like, you have teams who are returning a vast majority of their production on one side of the ball, and you put a team number one who's got a lot of new faces. I just that's interesting to me. It might work. It might not work. I think we've learned that over the years in the transfer portal, when the majority of your pieces come together kind of in a microwave. Sometimes it happens perfectly, and sometimes it doesn't. So I don't think Hoover is going to be terrible. Will he be as good as Mendoza? They had two unbelievable wide receivers last year in Surratt and Cooper. Cooper ended up going in the first round. Like, does Nick Marsh play at that level? Does he have a running mate that can play at that level?
Right.
I thought it was interesting that they were number one. Like, you can feel however you want to feel about Julian Sand, and that's fine. I certainly wouldn't be thrilled about the idea of drafting him right now in the NFL either. And I think he is probably a product of the pieces that are around him a little bit. Jeremiah Smith's one of the best college wide receivers from a physical standpoint
no doubt.
We have ever seen. He's the best player, arguably, in the Big Ten. And so to have that guy on an offense, number two on the list.
Real quick on that.
Go ahead.
Ohio State wouldn't be the first situation where we'd say a name and be shocked of how underperforming they are. Let's think back to Marvin Harrison Jr.'s last year.
Yes.
That offense was so awful.
It's because they had Honda McCord. According to them, he was the problem.
Well, right.
And it ended up being right because they got Will Howard and they won a national championship. Well, I don't know if they went with McCord or not.
Yeah, but this is my hope. Well, also their defense. It helped their defense really took a turn at some point in the season, especially at the back end. My whole point is to simply say, like, Jeremiah Smith is awesome, and it's been wide receiver U in college football. I won't be that stunned if they're not the number one or two offense in that conference, whereas Indiana, you know, if Oregon fan or anybody watching college football that discusses this stuff, if Oregon fan is going to tell me that they trust Dan Lanning and who he brings in because you went from Bo Nix to
Dylan Gabriel
to now Dante.
Yeah.
I think, personally, we're already there for Cignetti with me.
Totally fine.
Now, is Hoover going to be as good as Mendoza? I don't know. Also, part of that lightning in the bottle was the defense, right? The defense was absolutely stellar.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know if all of the success is going to be there in the same way or the numbers will match up. But with Rorick and then Mendoza, I tend to lean of, I'm going to trust that situation, especially considering they're not turning anything over. It's not a new playbook.
Totally fair.
They still have Charlie Becker there. So
yes,
you talk about, and he probably talked about being
God,
number one
guys.
God,
he came on huge late last year, yeah.
They've got a couple transfer seniors in Shaz Preston. They've got Tyler Morris. So, like, they don't just have Nick Marsh. Plus, you have that offense humming with the offensive linemen that are coming back this year. It's a situation for me that I wouldn't fault anybody for ranking them number one, even though there's some unknowns.
That's a totally fair point. The interesting thing, too, about the Oregon quarterback situation is I feel like they certainly haven't dropped off. Like, Gabriel was a Heisman finalist, and Dante had a really good year one as a starter at Oregon. I don't know if any of them have been good as good as the last year of Bo in that offense. Like, Bo, year two,
very fair point,
was the best. And there's not been a big regression there, obviously. The other two guys have been good, so you trust what they do at that position. You're still kind of chasing what he was, though, because he had the mastery of the system. He was there for 2 years. And maybe you get that this year out of Dante because it's year two in the system, and that's why they wanted the continuity. And that certainly was the case for Bo. But that was, of all the Lanning quarterbacks we've had over the 4 years, the second year of Bo was easily the best one that they've had.
Interesting looking at Indiana's offensive line.
Mm-hmm.
If this website that I'm checking the depth chart on for 2026 is correct, their offensive line is largely
they lost their best guy.
They lost the right guard. They replaced him with a transfer, but it's senior.
Guys who played a ton of
football. Redshirt sophomore.
Yep, offensive line won't be an issue for
them. Loaded position for Indiana.
It's a totally fair point. So they have Indiana number one. Oregon is number two on the list in terms of offensive ranking. Again, for them, biggest question will be their offensive line. Number three on this list was USC.
Yeah, I totally get it.
Replacing the wide receivers will be tough. Lane and Lemon was a hell of a 1-2 punch for them, but their quarterback is returning. That helps a ton. They've added some pieces, and obviously that big recruiting class. I think the question for them will be how many of their true freshmen can come in and play right away. They signed so many kids in last year's class. Can you get 5 or 6 of them that could be impact guys offensively for you? Saw that a little bit of Oregon last year with some receivers playing, some running backs playing, secondary guys. Like, can they get that on that side of the ball?
Mm-hmm.
And number four on this list was the Ohio State Buckeyes.
Yeah.
Which I don't know, man.
Why is that surprising to you?
Because they've been such a juggernaut.
Okay, but
and I get
who
that
have they been juggernauts against? And I think that was my thing last year. They didn't play a lot of amazing teams. I thought they actually skated from a weak schedule.
Of all the teams that played Indiana, to be fair to them, Indiana ended up being the wagon that won the national title. That was a 13-10 game.
Well, but that we're talking about offense.
Sure, but again,
totality of team, Ohio State, you want to put them as number one, I'm fine with it.
Yeah.
But when we're talking about the offensive rankings,
I get that the schedule wasn't that challenging for them last year.
And when he faced a tough team, Indiana completely locked him down.
It didn't go well. But if you want to rank Oregon ahead of him, what did Indiana do to Dante Moore twice? Or rank Oregon ahead of
him? They put him in a mental hellscape as well.
He was terrible against him twice.
You know what? Indiana might have been the best football team in college football.
I think they might have been.
And I think we've confirmed that.
I mean, and you can debate whose offense looked better. Oregon got smoked the second time they played.
Yes.
Ohio State played them to a closer ball game in the Big Ten title game than Oregon did.
Now, well, your OC was also completely
checked out. It was more of a defensive game, and it was lower scoring and all of that. And the first game at odds, it was a little more compelling. Maybe I'm just putting too much credit on one player. I also did see the highlights. I didn't watch the entire thing, but Ohio State had their spring game a couple weeks ago.
Oh, give me spring game analysis, please.
You know who looked unbelievable? The kid that waited to commit forever and then teased Oregon, Chris Henry Jr.
Yeah.
As a true freshman.
I think he's going to be a stud.
He was the number one wide receiver in the country. In a shocking development, he went to Ohio State. In a shocking development, he looked great in his first spring game.
Yeah.
So is he a massive impact year one like Jeremiah Smith? Does he take a little bit longer to season? I don't know what the answer is. But their wide receiver room will always be loaded. Their quarterback is back with another year of experience in the same system. I would love for Ohio State to fall off a little bit and Julian Sand to suck and them not have a great year this year because I can't stand Ohio State.
Yep.
But it's also Ohio State, and I just know what the history says there. So nothing like yelling about offseason rankings. I always love doing it. Some college football nuggies. Let's get to a couple notes out of the NFL. We'll dive back into the NBA playoffs coming up a little bit later on in the show. Mail sack coming up top of the hour. To the NFL next, 105.1 F.
Bringing a data center online takes more than equipment. It takes precision. Graybar helps customers predict, stage, schedule, deliver, and verify every step of the build with critical products that are available now. From networking and wireless to critical power and testing tools, our teams help you reduce downtime risk and keep projects on track. Speed. Scale. Ready now. Yep. Graybar does that.
When equipment breaks down and operations come to a halt, every single second counts. So why is your maintenance team spending 60% of their time doing anything but turning wrenches? Maintain X is the AI-powered maintenance and asset management system that helps your team get back to actually fixing breakdowns. No more searching for manuals. No more hunting down parts. No more drowning in paperwork. With Maintain X, your team can access manuals from anywhere, create new procedures in minutes, and turn voice notes into clear and complete work order feedback. What used to take hours now only takes minutes. Keep your operations moving and your wrenches turning. Join over 13,000 maintenance teams that are already fixing more and filing less. Try Maintain X for free today. Go to maintainx.com/AI. That's maintain and the letter x.com/AI.
The podcast Campus Files is back with more stories of scandal, crime, and intrigue on college campuses.
It is not hard to destroy a college.
It's almost like a university under siege.
Listen to and follow Campus Files, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
FM the Fam. All right, keep your mail sack questions coming in. We'll get to them coming up top of the hour. It's a good-looking sack today. It's filling up, and it's filling up fast. So we got that going. We'll get to some fun with audio out of the NBA in a little bit. Get back to the association. Now we got people arguing more football. So now we got a debate going on. More football. More basketball. More football.
We love it all.
We love it all. We try and talk about it all.
How do we feel about Ashanti?
Who? What? Ashanti? I haven't heard that name in 15 years. Is she going to Fire Festival?
She is actually. She's performing at the Portland Fire game.
Wait, what? Are you serious?
Yeah, I'm not kidding.
We've booked Ashanti?
The home opening game. Ashanti will be performing at halftime.
Yep.
I want to be your chick.
Do you love me? And trust me.
Is Ja Rule coming out too?
I mean,
you got to give me a duet? You're not going to give me the duet? That's their best song.
If you brought out Ja Rule and Ashanti.
Such a good song.
That's not a bad little halftime concert you're giving me there.
Halftime concert, huh?
It's either that or the guy in the Speedo with the dog walking all over his ass. I mean, you got to give me something to care about.
When I was there for game three, they had a guy who, I think it was like, Brandon, I don't know if you remember, but I want to say it was like one of the chin balancers or like the head balancer guys.
The chairs.
Like a chairs and a table.
Those are insane. what those guys do.
What's better, a chair balancer
or
table
Ashanti?
Balancer or Ashanti? What would you rather have at halftime?
I want to say that I saw Ashanti perform live. Why? Because a moment in time in my life, she was in every song.
She was.
She was on the hook of all of the songs.
She had a moment there. You're not wrong.
Murder! I know she's on the fair circuit now, but I want to see Ashanti. I want to say I saw Ashanti.
She going down to Clackamas afterwards?
That's probably Salem. Go to the Capitol.
After the 4-H festival.
I mean, I've seen all of the halftime shows. What's the bowl-catching lady? Red Panda. I've seen Red Panda. Yeah.
She's the biggest legend probably of the circuit, right?
It's impressive. You know, I've seen the gold spray-painted brother.
Mr. Gold Dust, and they rub each other.
Yeah, they do like a weird where they're balancing on each other's gold bodies. Yeah. And
gold on gold, man.
It'd be better if they came out and did the Gold Dust, rubbing the nipples, breathing in and out, and then did the balancing on each other.
The gold guys weird me out, if we're going to be honest.
It's a little odd.
The gold guys is strange. But put something on your head, ride around on a tricycle, that's fine. Guy on guy, balancing is just weird.
The dog walking all over the other guy.
The dog one's cool. I'm cool with the little dog.
It's cute.
Chihuahua.
The chin balancing chair, man. Yeah. You know, that's awesome.
You go Ashanti over all that, huh?
I've seen it all, though. I haven't seen Ashanti. Have you seen Ashanti live?
I have never. Brandon, have you seen Ashanti live?
I didn't realize she was still around and performing. Yeah.
I'd only seen her with Nelly.
Would you prefer a pregame concert or a halftime concert? Because at halftime, aren't you going to go take a leak and grab a beer or a hot dog or something?
If you're a rookie.
Oh, you miss basketball action?
Leave
in the middle of the game?
Get it before the game or go at like mid-first quarter is the underrated time
to
go.
I mean, I always usually head for the exits about 3 minutes to go till halftime to beat the rush, which usually works decently okay. Yeah. But I think I would prefer like on a nice sunny day, if she set up a stage out front of the Moda Center.
Oh, I'm not mad at that idea.
Like I would prefer that. Like I'm outside, I'm drinking a $48 beer at Dr. Jack's and she's out there and I can hear the ambiance and the sound. I prefer that. Halftime concerts are just weird to me.
No,
sporting events.
I understand what you're saying there. But
like I'd have no problem with Ashanti performing. Just halftime. Now we got to bring a little stage out. She's just going to walk around with a microphone.
It'd be very odd.
Lip sync the entire thing.
It'd be very odd to have Ja Rule, who was a part of Firefest, at the Portland Fire home game. Wouldn't it? It'd be a natural tie element there, right?
If they were smart, they would play into it. Speaking of our Fire friends, unfortunately, I saw Sabrina's going to miss the first two home games.
Yeah, she's out 2
maybe.
Weeks.
Maybe.
Yeah. Oh, it's a maybe?
Like, they're reevaluating in 2 weeks, so that's right on like the day before the game.
When is the first game?
First, for the Fire?
For the regular season.
This weekend.
Friday
and Saturday.
Friday, Saturday. Yeah. Okay. Mm-hmm. And they're on the road to start?
They are home on Saturday.
They're in the Moda Center on Saturday. All right. And then next week is when Sabrina comes to town.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Got it. Okay.
Now what songs does Ashanti sing is the next natural follow-up question here. It's a halftime.
I can only think
of two. So it's
got to
be the biggest bangers of bangers, right?
I mean, you only got 10 minutes. That's 2.5 songs.
Are her best songs when she's featured or when she's like the main artist? I think it's when she's featured.
Yeah.
Her best songs?
I would say featuring. Yep.
Yeah. Featuring Ashanti.
I'm going to look up her highest rated songs.
Is she going to get Fat Joe out here? I know he's
Skinny Joe now.
Well, I know, but.
Or just Joe.
Just Joe?
Just
normal Joe, not Fat Joe anymore.
Average Joe.
I don't remember all of Ashanti's hits. Some of them I'm looking at and I'm like, I don't.
Again, most of them are featured.
Rain on Me. Do you remember Rain on Me?
Absolutely. Yeah, dude.
You do?
Yeah.
Happy. I don't remember Happy.
How could you forget Happy?
Happy.
Yeah.
Baby.
Yep.
Only You.
Are you naming Justin Bieber and Pharrell songs?
These are Ashanti songs.
Ashanti songs.
These are Ashanti songs, man.
I mean, you could have been worse, I guess, in artist selection. For your halftime show.
I mean, you could definitely go worse.
How much is Ashanti even costing that team?
When Oregon was in the Orange Bowl, remember they had Third Eye Blind to a halftime show?
I don't remember that. Was that the playoff game?
And for the Orange Bowl against Texas Tech. Oh. Yeah, they had a halftime show. And everybody's like, what? Is that Third Eye Blind? Was it 1996?
I saw the All-American Rejects were in Medford over the weekend.
I'd be down to go see the All-American Rejects.
Park.
I'm all for that. Of all the random ones you could go see as a flash in the pan.
No, but seriously, how much does Ashanti cost? What's the talent fee? And then you got to pay for the flight out and the hotel, I'd imagine.
And it's only a 10-minute show, too. It's not like you're booking her for a full venue where you're selling out the venue. You're just booking her for halftime. She has to have there has to be a coincidence of, like, you're in town.
Yeah.
Like, we could look up her schedule.
No, I think this
is the only reason she's flying from New York to Portland just for this game and then flying back?
I feel like her and the Ying Yang Twins do this once in a while. They're like, we're going to whisper at halftime.
Now, to defend you, yeah, this says on May 8th she's performing in New York, Buffalo, and Albany.
That's what I'm saying.
She's on tour.
It's like, it's like a quick stop in Portland to do the halftime show, and I'll sing my two songs.
She had a lot of work done. Boy, I haven't looked at Ashanti in a while.
I just saw the image on one of the news sites. It was like, Ashanti doing the first home opener.
She does not look like she used to look. I'll just leave it at that.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh.
It looks a lot different.
Think about when she became popular.
That
was
like
high school.
2002.
Yeah, it's 2026, dude.
It is?
Yeah.
You tell me the Blazers haven't been in the playoffs in 22 straight years?
Well, okay.
Is that what you're telling me? That streak came to an end?
Yeah, that streak
what?
Came to an end.
That was 20 years ago?
Breaking news. But yeah, you know, Ashanti for a home opener halftime show, not bad in name recognition. I'd imagine that's a 20 grand bill. Are you getting Ashanti to fly in from a tour?
Even though it's
10 minutes, for less than 20 Gs?
I would love to know this stuff anonymously, like if you could actually find out the answer. I'm going to guess lower than that, but you might be right.
Well, so here's a dirty secret.
Because if Ashanti says no, what do? You just pivot to somebody else.
I've always wanted to have...
It's got
to
be a version of like Lynyrd Skynyrd up at A&A or something.
The wife and I, our anniversary's in November.
Uh-huh.
I've always wanted to financially be at a place where we can have a venue, invite our family and friends...
Mm-hmm.
And pay T-Pain to come out and do an anniversary party with us.
I feel like T-Pain's on the rise again.
He's got
some
popular.
Of his acapella stuff. Like he's his War Pigs cover is one of the best all time.
But I looked him up once because you can actually find information, and he was $50,000.
T-Pain was?
It's 2 hours, $50,000.
Who's bigger, T-Pain or Ashanti?
T-Pain.
Yeah, it's not even close.
Come on.
Also more modern.
Teddy Bender Ass Down? Are you kidding me? It's T-Pain.
I'm in love with the stripper.
Oh, my God. He's going to buy me a drink.
Yeah, buy me a drink. That was a banger.
Dude, everything T-Pain does is a banger.
Everything
we just have
true.
To hate
They're
on
all
him
bangers.
Because of auto-tune.
That is fair point.
Why do we hate
Certified
on it?
Certified bangers.
I'm sprung. How'd she get me? She had me doing things I never did. Come on, man.
Yeah, 50. If he's 50 G's,
and he'll sing any other
right.
song you want.
If he'll do covers and stuff.
And he'll have
yeah.
fun with it. Like T-Pain would be
50
kind
G's.
Of an underrated, perfect. It fits everybody's musical tastes.
Yeah.
He can hit you with hip hop. He can hit you with the straight singing, no auto tune.
Right.
He can do covers of songs. Yeah. He's got
different
his own
genres
bangers.
Of covers. Doesn't have to be all hip hop.
Doesn't matter,
yeah.
dude.
Good point.
50 G's, it'd be
Dude,
worth it.
If you had a big birthday party and T-Pain was there.
You'd be kind of jacked, right?
That would be badass.
That's what I'm saying.
If you didn't invite me to that party, I'd be upset, to be honest with you. Like, if I miss an in-person concert of T-Pain in front of, like, 80 people, I'd be offended. I might ruin our relationship.
Dude, if I had a T-Pain concert, I would legitimately invite all my friends, and then I would invite all of your friends except Cash.
Except Cash,
because he didn't
come.
Give me a ticket to the Blazer playoff game.
How many?
But
people,
I'd invite everybody.
What's the most that somebody could say if you chipped in, we could get a concert with T-Pain? That would you would be like, oh, okay, I'll chip in that amount.
If you told me I give you $400 cash and T-Pain will perform for 2 hours at a venue with just us, I will give you $400.
$400 is your max.
Yeah, I mean, well, if you said it was, okay, but Sprague, it's five. I go, okay, extra 100, maybe 500.
Let me make sure my math is right here. You know me, I'm not good at math.
Well, also, T-Pain's price might have gone up. I looked this up 2 years ago.
I don't think it's gone up in the last
2 years. Because we got married in 2012, so I was thinking of more like a, by year 15 anniversary,
right?
Could we get to that financially? And the answer is no, by ourselves.
Not even close.
According to my calculator. If $400 is your going rate per person for T-Pain, for
everybody's chipping in.
For a personalized concert,
yeah.
to get to 50 grand, you just need 125 people there.
Now, it's going to be a little more than that because you're going to have to pay for him to come out.
It's going
to
be a lot more.
And you're going to have to put him, I looked it up. You have to basically give him.
T-Pain's a homie. He'll figure it out.
The nicest hotel.
We'll call up a hotel. We'll do the concert at the hotel.
No.
Not T-Pain staying at your hotel. Synergy. People helping people. It's a wonderful thing.
I'm thinking more like somebody got some land. On a nice day.
Ooh, so he's got a farm.
So now
we got a Woodstock T-Pain
kinda,
Woodstock
yeah,
vibe.
A Woodstock T-Pain at our own private Woodstock T-Pain concert.
Smoking weed's a lot easier outdoors.
A lot easier.
Unless
are the kids there?
No, I don't think you invite kids to this. You got to go adults only. If I'm going to a T-Pain concert, I don't want to worry. I'm not worried about Teddy Ballgame running around.
But Teddy Ballgame.
I want to bump and grind.
Again, gets to watch Teddy bend her ass down.
He doesn't know what's going on.
And he
on.
Can say,
no, he's
Teddy
not gonna
saw Teddy.
He's not going to appreciate it.
All right.
You know, maybe over a certain age. Over 15, I'll allow it.
Okay.
Underage? Nah, dude. We got to get weird at a T-Pain
Sorry
concert.
To derail that with Ashanti talk.
Hey, Mendoza's taking snaps under center. Is that going to be awkward and uncomfortable? Did you see him saying he might skip the White House? If he's got practice, he's not going to go because Indiana's going to the White House to celebrate their championship.
He's such a weirdo.
And he was like, I'm a rookie. I can't
he's
miss practice.
Weird dude, man.
It's not happening.
Weird dude.
Are we following Stephon Diggs' trial against his chef?
I am. We're against it, but I am following that. Okay. And it is fascinating to me because it's not coming out great for the chef.
No, it is not looking good. We can get to that a little bit on the other side. We also have anonymous scouts talking about one player in the National Football League. We'll get to all that. We got some fun with audio in the NBA still to get to. We'll get to the games that are going on tonight coming up in the final hour and the mail sack coming up at 9 a.m. So a lot to get to. A little more in the NFL and maybe T-Pain next.
The pressure on data centers has never been greater. Whether you're expanding capacity, supporting AI workloads, or building new facilities, Graybar works alongside you with the solutions, specialists, and logistics expertise you need today. We help you power performance every step of the way, so your operation is ready now. Yep, Graybar does that.
When equipment breaks down and operations come to a halt, every single second counts. So why is your maintenance team spending 60% of their time doing anything but turning wrenches? Maintain X is the AI-powered maintenance and asset management system that helps your team get back to actually fixing breakdowns. No more searching for manuals. No more hunting down parts. No more drowning in paperwork. With Maintain X, your team can access manuals from anywhere, create new procedures in minutes, and turn voice notes into clear and complete work order feedback. What used to take hours now only takes minutes. Keep your operations moving and your wrenches turning. Join over 13,000 maintenance teams that are already fixing more and filing less. Try Maintain X for free today. Go to maintainx.com/AI. That's maintain in the letter x.com/AI.
I'm Sarah Austin Jeunesse, The Moth's executive producer and longtime host of The Moth Podcast. Every week, we share true stories told live and without notes by real people from all walks of life. Stories about disastrous haircuts, May-December romances, photographing Pluto, fighting for justice, and so much more. Some stories make you laugh, some make you think, and many stay with you long after they're told. Discover the power of story. Follow and listen to The Moth wherever you get your podcasts.
105.1 FM, The Fam. All right, a juicy little mail sack coming up top of the hour. Might have to carve out some time for wild stats. I saw one in baseball yesterday. You saw one in the NBA today.
I've seen a few wild stats. I saw one in baseball as well.
Yeah, there was one on Sterling, who passed away, longtime voice of the Yankees. And it blew my mind because they've been around a long time. He's also been around a long time, or was around a long time.
I didn't know he was a Braves guy in the 80s. I wasn't around. So.
You were not alive at that point. How would you know?
I had no idea. All I knew him was as the Yankee guy.
Isn't it funny when you hear about broadcasters that always, like, you grow up listening to certain people and you're like, oh, do you know who he used to be? The local play-by-play guy for that team. And you're just used to him calling, like, World Series or whatever big moments.
Yeah.
Like, what? He was? What?
Well, I think it's more about from yesterday, like, do we... Who is like the next wave of those guys, or do they not exist?
It's a really good question. I don't know. It's hard to like name. I know TV guys far more than I know radio guys now in modern sports.
Yeah, like that's baseball, for sure.
Like with having the MLB at bat app for as long as I've had it, like, you know, like when the Mets play, I love listening to their crew. The Phillies have a great crew.
Yeah.
You go around baseball, there's some, San Diego's got an awesome crew that, you know, I know the names, I know, you know, the faces, they've been doing it for a long time. Those guys more resonate with me than radio guys, which is sad because I think so many generations have grown up listening to games on the radio, and we're on the radio, and we always love and revere our guys. Locally, we have a couple of them. For Oregon and Oregon State, Jerry Allen and Mike Parker are legends, dude. They've been doing it forever.
Yep.
Since we were born. Like Jerry Allen and Georgie, I think, have been calling Oregon games since the year I was born. I think they started together in 1989. That's how many years they've done it. And Doc's been around forever in Corvallis. So I think you have it more locally. Nationally, that was kind of my point on Sterling yesterday of like, modern times, how many other radio voices can you name in Major League Baseball? Can you name one?
You know, here's a fun fact.
Do you know the Braves radio guy?
I listen to it sometimes.
But you don't know the name off the top of your head?
But I don't know his name off the top of my head.
I can tell you Dave Fleming and John Miller, they call Giants games on the radio. I know that. But outside of those two guys, because I listen to them from time to time,
yeah.
I can't tell you a single other radio guy in baseball.
Yeah, I listened to the Braves because the Braves will let you do the radio call with the picture. Yeah, and I'll switch it once in a while because I love old timey just radio calls of baseball games.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Joe Simpson, and it's his 35th season.
35 years?
That's a long ass time.
It's almost your whole life, man.
Yeah, it is. And I didn't know his name.
That's just the tough part about TV's become such a bigger thing. And some of these guys got their start before it was you didn't have these regional sports networks and there weren't local TV voices. I mean, the Blazers are kind of this way, right? Travis has done an unbelievable job the last handful of years filling in for Wheels, and it's been a good kind of passing of the torch. But our most revered guy in broadcasting history is our first radio voice. It was Sean.
The funny thing is, he's only the third, right? Isn't it Sean Lee Wheeler and now Demers?
I believe so. There might probably some fill-ins here or there when Wheels was going through hell stuff.
It's not like TV. We have this laundry list of guys either.
No, but it's a longer list, though, than radio is. That's for certain.
Yeah, no, there's no doubt.
A couple of notes out of the NFL. I'll get to some anonymous quotes here in a moment on one quarterback. But I have not followed. So what's going on with Stephon Diggs and his chef? Is it turning out bad? All these allegations untrue?
She's being put under oath to testify in their trial. She's basically claiming that he assaulted her.
Now, just choked her. Are we talking sexual? Just assault?
No, choked her out because she was demanding money.
A disagreement over payment and
he
assaulted her.
Yeah, that's the backstory. She was put under oath and she's being kind of exposed. She deleted text messages. Those text messages indicated that he did pay her $40,000 in a certain span. She was asked the relationship, and she said it started as friends, and then we got together and started hooking up, and then he asked me to be a chef. There was a video that got released, I think, from just like a 2 or 3 days after the whole incident went down, reportedly.
So after she was reportedly assaulted.
And she's, like, dancing on the video, celebrating and having a great time. And so, like, there's just a lot. And I think she's already contradicted herself under oath, and there's not going, I think, particularly well. But without knowing every single detail so far of the hearing and trial, it seems like right now not great for her.
He might be back in the NFL next year. We'll wait and see on that one. I did see this came out a couple of days ago, and it's an interesting year for a couple of quarterbacks in the NFL. I think Jalen Hurts is kind of this way in Philly. I was ironically on vacation when the big news, not big news, but stories broke about kind of the behind-the-scenes stuff going on in Philly and how they feel about him and how it's been a bit of a disaster offensively over the last year. Since their Super Bowl win, now they added Mekhi Lemon, so maybe that's a big move that kind of takes him to another gear. I would certainly have my concerns if I were an Eagle fan. One of the other young quarterbacks in the NFL who is facing a massive, massive season in terms of what is his future and what does the organization do with him is C.J. Stroud.
Yeah.
In Houston. He's going into year four. He's not got the extension yet. He's been in the playoffs every year, and they've won a playoff game every year. But I think anybody with eyeballs watching him could say, man, that's not going very well. The one thing I will say in defense of him, I saw somebody put together a ranking of it was basically a general supporting cast ranking over the last like 5 years in the league in terms of how many points per game does your defense give up, your wide receiver production, what are your offensive run block and pass block grades. Like, they put all of it into one bucket and said just how easy is it to win with that team when you consider the help that you're getting. And I want to say the Texans were like 26th or 27th on the list. Now, it was another one of those graphics that defends my guy Herbert because they were like 31st because they've been bad in a lot of categories. But he was near the bottom of that list. So it's always trying to balance it like, man, it didn't look good, but also let's be fair, they've been banged up at certain spots. Some of the anonymous quotes in this article from AFC executives were interesting. Somebody said, I think one of the AFC executives said, I think he's pretty talented. I just think running a more efficient offense would justify the payday.
Yeah.
Another one, I think everyone I talk to feels like you got to pay him low. It's a low bar for the position. It could also save you money if you extend him now because the market always goes up. And so, you know, people are saying offer him something like top 8 to 12 money. This was an NFC executive. I tried and give him a 3-year extension, somewhere $42, $45 million per year right now, or plan to franchise tag him like Dak did back in 2020. And so there's these differing opinions, and some are arguing, you know, you might be able to buy low on him right now if you offer him an extension. He might sign it. It could save you money. But either way, there's a gamble there of if he has another rough off season, or excuse me, regular season, they're going to be asking the same questions again next year of like, do we have our guy on or do we need to move on?
Well, I mean, you have to look at the contracts, right? If we took Deshaun Watson out of this, because we all agree it's the worst contract in sports history.
Eliminate it.
Well, what's the cat actually from the Angels? Roman? The guy that got the deal, and then he basically was like, I don't really care about baseball.
God.
Is it Anthony Roman?
Rendon. Anthony Rendon.
Yeah.
World Series MVP Anthony Rendon, I believe.
Also in the conversation for worst contract ever in sports history for a different reason, but basically, like, I've quit. Hurts, Lamar, Justin Herbert, Purdy, Goff, Lawrence, Love, Allen, Burrow, Prescott. Those are your top 10. Is he better than any of those 10 to you?
No.
Do you have Hurts better than him?
I mean, yeah.
And then after that is Mahomes, Daniel Jones, Matt Stafford, Sam Darnold. Like, if you tell me
it's
he's
funny
in
how
that,
low on the list some of the guys are.
Well,
now.
Mahomes has got this lengthy.
Right.
On, this is on
15-year deal.
Yeah. So I'm more just kind of looking at the.
Where would $40 million a year put him if you paid him $40 million a year? Because that was the thing with Darnold last year where he turned the ball over a ton. But
40 would tie him with Matt Stafford.
Matt Stafford, okay.
And then if you want to go below that, like, is there another 40? No, it'd be Sam Darnold,
33.5, yeah.
Do you think he's as good as Sam Darnold?
I think he can be Sam Darnold, yeah.
In the right situation?
The Sam Darnold one's tough because we know, like, it was an upgrade. He had a good moment. But it also, like, he led the league in turnovers. Like, a lot of that was a team win. It was the epitome of modern winning, of not having a franchise quarterback but building it out correctly
around
him.
Having a great defense.
Yes, and he was awesome when they needed him to be in the NFC title game. But let's not act like he was lighting the world on fire the entire regular season.
So you got Darnold, Mayfield. Willis is now in this. Like, Willis, by the way, is 22.5. Yeah. Baker's 33.3, and Darnold is 33.5. So
if I were Houston, I'd have no problem giving him somewhere in the 30-ish million range on, like, a four-year deal and see if he'll take it.
If he takes the Darnold 33.5, now that's a $100 million deal.
Yeah.
If he was to take that deal,
I'd give it to him.
I'd be willing to roll the dice with it because of this. Your offensive line needs to get in order. Your running game needs to be a little better.
Yep.
And if you can give him one more good target, like, I don't
and just stay healthy on the outside.
I just don't know how much of this is all his fault. I know we're against it, but I don't know how much of it is all his fault versus some of what was not his fault has kind of broken him a little bit.
He's just had some really bad moments in games too, where you're like, why would you make that decision that then turns the blame kind of back on him? When I think in reality, it's got
a massive year. Will Anderson got the extension.
Yes, he did.
He hasn't yet. So that kind of tells you a lot. So we'll see what they do in terms of what they get with him.
Last to get to in the final hour, some more NBA playoff stuff. Two more series get underway tonight. We have some fun with audio from the other day. We haven't played yet. We'll start, though, with the mail sack. Get your questions in. Last chance, 503-864-6326. YouTube chat or on Twitter as well. We'll answer them all. Starting next, 105.1 FM The Fam.
Bringing a data center online takes more than equipment. It takes precision. Graybar helps customers predict, stage, schedule, deliver, and verify every step of the build with critical products that are available now. From networking and wireless to critical power and testing tools, our teams help you reduce downtime risk and keep projects on track. Speed. Scale. Ready now. Yep. Graybar does that.
When equipment breaks down and operations come to a halt, every single second counts. So why is your maintenance team spending 60% of their time doing anything but turning wrenches? Maintain X is the AI-powered maintenance and asset management system that helps your team get back to actually fixing breakdowns. No more searching for manuals. No more hunting down parts. No more drowning in paperwork. With Maintain X, your team can access manuals from anywhere, create new procedures in minutes, and turn voice notes into clear and complete work order feedback. What used to take hours now only takes minutes. Keep your operations moving and your wrenches turning. Join over 13,000 maintenance teams that are already fixing more and filing less. Try Maintain X for free today. Go to maintainx.com/AI. That's maintain in the letter x.com/AI.
Hey everyone, I'm Josh Radner, and I am so excited to tell you about How We Made Your Mother, a rewatch podcast looking back at How I Met Your Mother. And I'm here with Craig Thomas, who co-created the show along with Carter Bays. Hi, Craig.
Hey, Josh. Somehow it has been 20 years since the show premiered. I'm going to check the math on that. 10 years since it went off the air, and we thought that made this a perfect time to look back, see what the hell we did, and why the show still seems to resonate with fans around the world today.
Follow and listen to How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.